Well, it seems a little while ago I said to Pastor Andrew, I think I've got a word. But it turned out to be more than Duncan the Carpenter, I think. I've got about 5 or 6 pages. No, it isn't that bad, honestly. No. I'll go as far as I can with it, but do you know it's wonderful this morning how the Lord has put things into place here. We talk about Lord in our prayers, about God putting things in place, goes before you by His Holy Spirit and prepares the way. And you know what? My main theme here today, I've got 5 themes, but it all rolls into one. I've got love, obedience, joy and happiness, peace and understanding. And you know what? The things that have been, that DVD was about love, wasn't it? Really, the love of Jesus. When we're talking about other things, the songs, everything, it's all coming to the fact that the love of Jesus, which is expressed through His people. And it's a wonderful thing. So I'm not going to hang around too much because I might not have time to go through it all. I don't know. I haven't timed myself on it, so I'm going to just read through it. And I'll go as slowly as I can because for our visitors, for Fina here, for her to understand what I'm saying. Love. What is love? I've gone onto the computer. I've learned a lesson there. Agape love is selfless love of one person for another without sexual implications, especially love that is spiritual in nature. Love, also a strong positive emotion of regard and affection. Then we come into obedience. Now, why we say obedience? Because when we come to God, we need to be obedient to God. And obedience is an act of the will. I didn't get that from it there. I know that obedience is act of will. We have to have the will to want to do it, right? Joy and happiness are feelings and emotions, right? Peace is inner contentment, serenity, and peace of mind. Understanding is characterized by all having comprehension, to comprehend, and good sense or discernment, to be compassionate, sympathetic. That is understanding. Now, first of all, I'm going to talk about love. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Luke 10:28, in the passage of the Good Samaritan, a lawyer asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus asked him, what is written in the law? And he replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Now, what did he mean by saying, and you will live? Not just living here. He meant eternal life. If you do this, you will live eternally. Okay? Do we love our neighbor or do we love ourselves? Do we love ourselves? Not as we might with pride or arrogance, but with the knowledge that we are the temple for the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Are we pleased with the way we are? Are we at ease with the way we act and think as a work in progress for God? Because we are a work in progress for God. If you love Jesus, you love God, then you are a work in progress. Nobody has finished the race yet. We're still on the journey. Yeah? Are we moving closer to Him or are we holding Him at arm's length? Are we holding Him away from us because it doesn't suit us, you know? Jesus loved us so much that He took our sins to the cross with Him so that we could have everlasting life. We are saved by the blood of Christ, which we just took the sacraments for now. Yeah? If you have a Bible with a concordance, take a look at how many times love is mentioned in the Bible. You will be amazed. The Christian faith works through love, and the measure of one's love for Christ is the extent to which one keeps God's commandments. If we love Him enough, we keep His commandments. Do we fail? Yes, we fail. Of course we fail, very often. But we have to keep on wanting to. We have to keep on trying to. And eventually, then we will become righteous. The sad fact is, it sometimes feels easier to hate than to love. But that's because we're in a fallen world where hate comes at you from everywhere. Out of the television screen, in films, the news, from non-Christian sources, for example, talking to someone who is gossiping. Gossip spreads disharmony, dissatisfaction and resentment, which turns to hate. So it turns to an opposite of love. Love, which is given by grace to you by the Lord, on the other hand, spreads just as fast, if not faster, than gossip. So we need to talk more to people about the love of Jesus. Yes. So let's spread a lot of love. Yes. So if we talk about Jesus more, we're spreading more love. Come into obedience now. Come from love into obedience. In Luke 11:28, the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." To be obedient to God is to love him so much that we don't want to offend him by anything we might do that is against his wishes. In other words, as we look to our earthly father for guidance or praise when we think we have done something that would please him, that's how it is when we please our heavenly father. Jesus obeyed the father even unto death on the cross. Matthew 28:18-20. Now some of these, I must say, are from the updated version of the NIV, which I had off the internet. Then Jesus came to them and said, this is 10:28, Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the end, very end of the age." The disciples were obedient. That's why the Christian faith covers the world today. Matthew 3:17 states, "After Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" Now, do you think that Jesus might have been a little pleased also that the Father was pleased with him? I think so. Yeah, just as we are, you know, when we were young and we did something to please our father, our earthly father, then he said, "Oh, well done, my son. Didn't we feel good?" Yeah? So for us to love with the same love that Jesus loves us, we need to be obedient to the Father as Jesus was. We need to get pleasure from obeying the Lord, even though I've had you and it's crossed it out. It is difficult, but we make it difficult. I changed it too. Yeah? So we need to get pleasure from obeying the Lord, even though we make it difficult too sometimes. We make obeying difficult when we object to it. More often than not, it's because we don't want to sacrifice anything to obey him. So it comes down to being more than a little selfish, isn't it? We're all guilty of that, I think. I am. Yeah. I have been in the past, I know. Yeah? This is something I need to listen to myself. We're in a lovely comfort zone, and it's difficult to uproot ourselves from it. You might think, where is this babbler going with this, you know? I've said the word pleasure earlier on, didn't I? Well, I'm leading now into joy and happiness and contentment. Without love, how can you be happy? Everyone longs to be loved. Everyone is searching for love. I'm not talking about the lust or romance. I'm talking about true love, deep love, real love as a father for a son, as a brother for a father, as a mother for her children. The kind of love we should have as children in the family of Christ for one another. That's that real love, that deep love. That love of knowing. If love abounds along with obedience to God, then we should have no reason to be unhappy. Or without joy. Joy and happiness give us contentment. Yeah? Love, joy, contentment, happiness. Now we had to pay for that. Now have we had to pay for that kind of joy? Happiness, love or contentment I've been talking about so far. Have we had to pay for it? Have it cost us anything? No? No, we don't have to pay for it. Paul in Philippians 4:11-13 states, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. We've got the best building block, the best foundation in the world to build joy and happiness in Jesus. When we first got together with our wives or husbands, did you think to yourself, I want to be miserable with this person? I don't. You know, I want to be miserable with you. No, we were happy and full of joy. You know, on that day, on that wedding day, wow, we had a future in front of us, didn't we? We got a... Don't feel left out if you're single or on your own, because there's no better joy than the joy of the Lord. There's no better joy than joy of the Lord. There's no better way to be happy than to be happy in the Lord. But we are in this world, and we are not expected to go around with long faces being miserable. It's not always possible to be happy and joyful every minute of every day. But we have to ask ourselves sometimes, what is controlling my attitude? Is it me, or is it my circumstances? Is it something someone said, or something that's happened that is determining the way I feel? You know, things can happen to you that change the way you feel, just like that, you know. I sometimes feel down when I'm in a lot of pain, perhaps, which I do get from time to time. But as soon as the pain lifts, I make sure I say good things to myself to stop myself from staying in the doldrums. Because we can't we? I mean, I've done it so often in the past. Before I knew the Lord, you know, you can go down and down and down, and you want to stay down and down and down. God's job to lift yourself up. But when you read the Word, the Book of Life, when you read the Word from the Book of Life, the Bible, then it helps you. And with listening, you know, and when I say we're down in the doldrums, you know what the doldrums is. Now, I've gone online for this because I couldn't explain it myself, but I knew what the doldrums were. Now, most of you might think that the doldrum is an area near the equator where sailings, ships can sometimes be trapped for days because there is no wind. Well, it's that, but so they can't move from where they are. And that is the doldrums. Another explanation of it is a period of depression or unhappy listlessness. So that's the doldrums as well. So it's connected in a way. How often have we felt like we're so happy that we feel like we're walking on air, only to have something occur or something someone has said that takes the wind out of our sails? We walk in the miry clay. We have a job to drag ourselves along. We have allowed circumstances to change us from joyful and happy to miserable and sad in a matter of minutes. And we allow that. You know, it isn't that it's got to happen to us. We've allowed it. Because we've allowed something someone said or something that's happened to change our attitude, the way we are. Because we're people, we are human beings. But Jesus helped us to rise above that. And I know Richard's had to lately, in a big, big way. Psalm 68:3 says, may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. In Proverbs 15:13, it says, a happy heart makes the face cheerful. Yeah? So always have a happy heart. If you're feeling down, look up. God is there when you're looking up. Pastor Andrew has done sermons on the sun is shining above the clouds. Even when we've got dull days like we've had, the sun is shining above the clouds. God's always up there. The clouds don't block him out, you know. He's always here with you. He's in your heart. He's in your mind. If you take him into your heart and into your mind, he's there with you all the time. You don't have to wait for eternity to have the joy. You're here on earth. You can have the joy of Christ now. Because we know him. If you're feeling as though you've lost your joy, sing or whistle a happy tune. Preferably a God song. Yeah, hallelujah. Like we've been this morning. Wow, how I love to rejoice in the Lord. I love to worship. I've told you this before. You know, when I sing to the Lord, I have much, much more pleasure and enjoyment than when I go outside and sing to people. I enjoy it, don't get me wrong. I do enjoy it, because it's part of life. But I love to sing to the Lord. I love to sing to the Lord. You can't be miserable when you're trying to sing a happy song. You try it. Oh, happy tunes. You can't do it. It's impossible. You're doing two contrary things, two opposites. So you can't do it. You can't rejoice in the Lord and be unhappy at the same time. To rejoice is to be happy. Misery and happiness are opposite feelings. I'm coming in now into peace. Right? Before you enter the cross, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." It's there. The peace is there. Do we want to reach out and grab it? Or do we want to push it to one side and walk away from it? You know? Now, if you have a joy in the Lord, and if you have happiness in your soul, then it should make it easier for us to find peace through Christ. When Christ was born, Luke 2:13 to 14 says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" Psalm 29:11 states that the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. So he blessed us with his peace. You know, there's no reason why we shouldn't have the peace of the Lord. But sometimes, again, we're at fault because we haven't got the Lord's peace. It's because we haven't been reading the Bible enough. It's because we're not staying close enough to the Lord, not praying enough to Jesus. You know, it's lots and lots of things that we don't do enough, perhaps, to give us that peace. We sometimes need to look for the peace of the Lord. Sometimes we are perhaps looking in the wrong place. You know? We know it's there, but we can't always find it. Usually the reason is that we have a grudge inside us, or something that's acting like a brick wall. Maybe a bad thought about someone. God is good at knocking down brick walls. Yeah? He's good at knocking down brick walls. Clearing blockages on the pathway to Him. He loves to do it. He wants to do it for us. If you've got a brick wall or something stopped, but you've got to be willing. You know? But we have to play our part. God has given us capabilities and abilities for us to use. He's given us those. They're in us. We've got these capabilities. Look at that DVD of Nick. I can't say his name.
Bojcic.
I can never remember it and say it. But Nick Bojcic. I mean, what a brick wall he's at. Yeah? Wow. Yet he, with God's help, you see, with the praying, and with, it all comes with God's help and with trust and faith. And it's difficult sometimes for us to get that trust and faith. We get these doubts. Because as well as God and the Holy Spirit talk to us, as I've said before, Satan is talking to us as well. And sometimes we listen more to Satan than we do to the Holy Spirit. And we do it with, don't we? We are guilty of it. And sadly, it holds us back. It holds us back. And with his help to control the way we feel over our circumstances. We can do it with his help. We control the way we feel over the circumstances. You know, if we stay close to God and keep close to him, keep praying to him, keep praising him, keep glorifying him. So is happiness a choice, or is happiness a victim of circumstances? Now think about it. Do you choose to be happy, or do you choose to let circumstances rule your feelings? It's easy, I know, to say these things. It really is. I mean, in the past I've been one of the worst persons for it. I mean, I have been, Julia, she's not in a way, you know. I don't know what to say about that. But like everything else that's worthwhile, we have to work at it. Yeah. We have to work at it. It doesn't just come like that. If it does, you're one of the fortunate ones, believe you me. To practice it, you know, it takes practice at many things. It takes practice when you're playing a guitar. It takes practice if you want to sing to any extent in any way. You know, it takes practice and practice and practice. And, you know, so to practice it is when circumstances arrive to throw us into despair or misery. You know, you've got to practice it. When these things come at you, when the desperation sets in, you've got to practice, right? You've got to practice, you know, to be happy, to be above it all, to raise above it. But you practice it with God's help. The Holy Spirit will help you if you ask Him, you know. I've seen that now, even in small things. I mean, The other day, I was praying that the Holy Spirit will not make me waffle. Because I have got a habit of waffling. I stick to the notes. I know where I am when I stick to the notes. But I've always found it difficult. I think I told you the time I was asked to speak in the Zion Baptist Church. And I had all the notes and I had my song and all that. And I said, no, I'm not going to use that. And I ripped it out and I ripped my song up as well. You know, luckily I knew the words. I did have to put it together like that, so with the rip down the middle and whatever, I managed it. But you know, the Holy Spirit will help you anyway. Yes. If you're doing God's work, yes. You know, the Holy Spirit will come in if you ask Him, and He'll help you. You know, I'm not perfect in how I speak. I'm not very good, actually, I don't suppose. But you just do what you do.
That's right.
By the help of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Yeah? Where did I leave off now? That's the thing. Yeah. The first thing we should do in all situations is to pray. Yeah. How many of us pray regularly? Through the day as we walk in doing things and doing that. How many of us, who wakes up in the morning and says, "Good morning, Holy Spirit"? Yes, I know you. I do as well. But it's a wonderful way. I think, who was saying the other day about preparing your day? I think it was Pastor Andy, wasn't it? Preparing your day by being happy in the Lord or something. Was it someone?
The first 7 minutes.
The first 7 minutes. Determine the way you're going to feel for the day. Wonderful. Ask the Lord by His Holy Spirit to help us. Take away the fear and frustration by handing the situation over to Jesus. If you've got a situation, hand it over to Him. You know, doesn't mean to say, "Well, I'm going to be concerned." Nobody's saying that. But don't worry about it. Hand it over to the Lord. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden," I think it was, "and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We need to keep in close contact with Him.
Yes.
And ask Him for guidance for the next move you need to make. Before you move on to do anything in your life, whatever it is, no matter how small, you know, talk to Him.
Give it to Him.
Say, "Lord, I need help with this. I'm going to do this now and I want your help to be able to move on. I can't do it in my own strength, you know. Can't do it." We all know that very often the first person we know that we rely on is ourselves. We rely on ourselves too much sometimes. Because, you know, it is born out of a life of teaching of self-sufficiency. That's the trouble, you see. We're in a life that teaches us to be self-sufficient. And then it's difficult then when we need to ask for help and hand it over and have faith enough to leave it. You know, we are brought up with it, unless you are fortunate enough to be taught from an early age by good Christian parents to rely on God. Now my story goes like this. My parents were good people and good parents and considered themselves to be Christians. And they were lovely parents. I loved my mum and dad. And I miss them. You know, I do miss them in this life. They sent me to Sunday school and they taught me to respect others and to be polite, etc. But they didn't read the Bible stories to me, and they didn't impress on me the love of Jesus. Because they didn't realize, you see. They weren't really church-going people. Mother went now and again, you know. She had spasms where she went to the Pentecostal church, she had spasms where she went to the chapel, and you know, all this sort of thing. But it wasn't anything to give a good grounding. So they didn't really have a good grounding in Christ. Because they were not that well versed in Bible reading themselves, as far as I know they were. They taught me, I know Mother had a Bible, and she most probably read through it, and most probably didn't understand it, because she wasn't very educated. Mother always said she saw them coming out of school more than she was in there. She never was in school. She saw them coming out, you know. She was working at 13 years of age in the steel mills, and catching on the back of the rollers, with a piece of sack around her waist and leathers on her hand. You know, this is the kind of life they had years ago, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know, when when she told me, I think I've said it in my testimony in the men's breakfast the one time, she was proud of the fact, she's only a little woman, she only came to there, and she was proud of the fact that she never missed a day's work in her life. She lost one half day, and that was because she fainted, because she had boils on her back. So she had suffered with the pain. And then in the afternoon she went back to work. You know, she went to work. And so when they went in the snow, they wrapped paper around, brown paper around their legs to go to work. And she had to walk, I would say, about from Pontypridd to Abercorn, about 5 miles. About 5 miles. In hail, rain or snow. That was it. So that was the life they had. So, you know, I don't blame her for not being able to tell me the Bible stories like we told our Lizzie, our granddaughter. They taught me sayings like cleanliness is next to godliness. I don't know where that came from, but I don't think it was from the Bible. But that was one of them. She taught me cleanliness is next to godliness. I don't know, like I say, also they told me not to blaspheme. Now that was a big thing with my mother and my father. Don't blaspheme. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. You know? I must have used it when I was little. Sometimes I was listening to it and bringing it. Don't use the Lord's name in vain, she used to say to me. That's blaspheming. So they knew the rights from the wrongs, you see. So I was lucky enough to get that. They must have instilled in me enough to know that I needed Jesus in my life, for me to seek him and to accept him when he called. I'm glad that he called. It took a long, long time. A long, long time. I thought I knew him to a point, but no. Until you open your heart. When he's knocking, open your heart. When he enters in, you know, when you've really got him in your heart, then he starts working in your life, gradually, bit by bit, you know. Yeah. And I look forward to seeing him in the heavenly kingdom when we get there. I really do. You know, it would be wonderful, wouldn't it? What a great day that would be. Don't want to go now. Not at this moment, you know. it would be a wonderful thing. You know, it would be a wonderful thing when we can, you know. We need to follow God's commandments and teaching, of course. But you see, God didn't say that every one of us has to be an evangelist. He didn't say that. Or a super duper preacher. For example, to enter the kingdom, we don't have to be anything super duper. He said in John 3:14-18, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him and not shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Do you think Jesus wants that peace in our lives?
Yes,
I would say so. Do you think Jesus wants us to be happy?
Yes.
Do you think Satan wants us to be sad? Yes, he does. You choose what you'd rather be. Be at peace, be happy and joyful, and choose Jesus. You know, it's a wonderful knowledge now this morning that I can see you all here, and I think you all know Jesus in a way that we should know him closely, you know. Now coming to that, I'm going to understanding. Where does the understanding come in? Well, have any of you noticed that when you implement obedience, love, joy and happiness, and with constant reading and meditating on the word, you seem to get more understanding from God's word? Have you noticed that? Anybody does it? Yeah. I know I have. And lately, in the last couple of months, I seem to be coming, I have more understanding coming through. Now I've been a Christian I was born again Christian for 17 years. And you think, wow, you've read this, you know. Now I'm the first to admit that I have a long way to go in the meditating on the word area. I do. I have difficulty meditating on anything. Yeah? If you put a dinner in front of me, you have to meditate on that. You know? I can meditate on some things, but you know, I lose concentration quickly. I haven't got that focus that some people's got, that they can get into something. I'm really getting to the nitty gritty of things, and I'm not like that. I never have been. And it's perhaps sad, but the Lord knows. He knows who I am. And He works with me the way I am. He works with you the way you are. You don't have to be sort of any different than you are now, but He'll work on you quietly, steadily, you know. I must admit, I think that I am one of those people that grows slowly in the Lord. And that's true, I have grown very slowly. Some people come to know the Lord and they're on fire straight away. Myself, I think He has had time to work on me slowly. He's had to. He knows me, like I said. The main thing is, I've found it, is to be open to teaching. We have to be open to teaching. If you're not open to teaching, you learn nothing.
Yeah.
And if you don't learn anything, you don't go anywhere. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes things are said, sometimes things are happening or whatever, that throw you off track. But you have to be open to teaching. Sometimes you don't always agree with what you're listening to or what you're... But you have to be open to it. And you have to examine it. Understanding happens when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and to guide us. Listen to those that have been Christians for a long time and are always reading the Word, such as Pastor Andrew and the elders. I mean, they're reading all the time. You know by their knowledge of the Bible. You know. Do you have to agree with everything they tell you? No! They can be wrong sometimes. Pastor Andrew said, don't rely on me. He said, you know, rely on God. The Word is truth. Yeah? They are human and open to error, just as we are. Go read the Bible and confirm what they say. And honor your pastor for the work that God has given him to do. You know, we can so often want to jump on anything that's said. Right? And rip it apart. That's Satan. He wants to use us. He wants to use us. But I'd rather God use me. So we have to examine things that's said in there. We have to examine it. I've read the Bible through about 3 or 4 times or so. I'm going through it again at the moment. I've got Ezekiel, you know, so it tells how long I was reading it. This I've read it this ago. I think I'm on I've finished Daniel. I've come into
the next book.
Yeah. And I can't remember it. You see what I mean? You haven't got to be super duper to get up here. I tell you that now. Just got to not know what you're on about. And now I'm on Daniel. I've got you. Better not. I've finished Daniel. I've gone into
Hosea.
That's it. Hosea. I'm in the middle of Hosea. I'm in the middle of it. And I'm determined I go through it. You see, very often I'm reading the Bible and I'm thinking, oh, this is a drudge. But no, I'm determined, no matter whether it's Lamentations, Numbers, no matter what, I'm going to go through it. I'm going to go through it. And I go through it. And when you come into some of the past, like Kings is very exciting, I find, you know, a lot of action in Kings, a lot of nasty things in Kings as well, but I mean, you know, but it happens. And but when you come into the New Testament, then after the Old Testament, I find it's like, it's wonderful, because then you're in the Jesus period, you're in the period of Jesus, and that is wonderful, because there is where you come into the New Covenant, as was said earlier on, yeah? But it is a very exciting book. It's exciting if you take notice of it, and you try and understand it. Yeah, if there's things in there you don't know and can't understand, you've got people here who can sometimes give you an understand of it, you know. I certainly wish I had a photographic memory. I haven't got a very good memory, with good recall, but I don't. I'm a very poor student, not just in the Bible, but in almost everything. I said almost, not everything, almost everything. But do you know what? Every time I read through the Word, a little more sticks in my memory. It's like throwing... If you get enough mud and throw it at a wall, a little bit stick. And that's what it is when you're reading. A little bit more stick, a little bit more stick. It's like when you watch a film, or if you watch something, and you watch it 2 or 3 or 4 times. On the fourth time, you think, I didn't see that the first 3 times. So that's where the understanding comes in, you see. I don't think I'll ever be a Bible scholar. I don't think I'll ever be a Bible scholar, but I would like to have more understanding of the Word. Now that's up to me, perhaps to put more time aside to read the Word of God and to meditate more on the Word. I've quoted this from the Word before we spoke, when I spoke the last time, yeah, I remember this, when I spoke the last time, but sometimes we need to hear or read a passage more, as I've just said, and get more understanding of what it is being said, when you've gone over it or heard it a few times. Most of all, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. That is very, very important, is that we ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Paul says in Romans 6:8, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him lead diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now I've said that before. The last time I spoke, it's no good reading the Word and ignoring the instruction that's in the Word. You can't read the Word of God and not take any notice of the instruction within the Word. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. It's not good listening to the Word and ignoring what it is saying to us. Will we succeed in everything we try to put into practice? No. But we go on trying. This is a journey, not a trek. It's a journey, not a trek. You know? It's a long distance race, not a 100-yard dash. Be patient with yourself. Be forgiving of yourself. But keep moving forward. Don't sit and analyze every little thing you fail at, or you lose your joy and your way. You lose your joy and your way if you stop and try and analyze every little thing you fail at. I've tried it. I've done it. You lose your way. It throws you off course. It holds you up. It stops you moving on. You get all sorts of things happen to you. The person that sits too long doesn't finish the race. Better to be like the tortoise and keep moving slowly than not moving at all. Keep moving on with the Lord. We are growing in God, as was said earlier on. We are growing together in God. Keep looking for understanding. It brings enlightenment. Don't boast about how well you know the Word. It discourages those that are not so well advanced in the Word. We can all be professors of this and professors of that and all that. But you know, when someone is not so well advanced in the Word and we're trying to be too knowledgeable in the Word, I'm not saying to grab knowledge to give the Word out, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is sometimes we can want to spout out and prove how much we know and all that. It isn't that. Besides, knowing something and putting it into practice, the knowledge you're required is a different story. You've got to be able to put into practice what you know and what you've learned. Better to have a reasonable amount of knowledge and use it wisely than to have a lot of knowledge and not use it at all. If I have a lot of books on my bookshelf and don't read them, I might as well not have any books. I might as well not be able to read. So if you're not going to use that which you've got, then it's pointless having it. So let's be determined to walk in love, in truth, in joy and happiness, and in peace and understanding. Now, if we can achieve this, our lives will be all the better for it, and we will become righteous and prepared for heaven, because that's what it's all about. Jesus is trying to make us more and more righteous, so he's preparing us for the kingdom. If someone here today has listened and heard something that helps them to move on a little further with the Lord, then I know they haven't been standing here grabbing away for nothing. So take heart. Take Jesus with you wherever you go and love him without conditions as he loves you. He loves us without conditions. If anyone here is not taking Jesus into their heart and you feel that you want to, then say this prayer after me. Don't have to say it out loud either. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I open my heart to you and ask you to come in and be Lord of my life, to be the source of my comfort and joy, and to walk with me all the days of my life, even into eternity. I promise to follow your word, which is truth and light, and I ask forgiveness, Lord, for my sins. Amen.